You're listening to Amy Keeps It Creepy, the podcast where I share my obsession with true crime and the paranormal with you. I'm your host, Amy Brooks. A pervy ghost with BO who likes to touch the ladies. A shadow guy who should have been a sprinter in the Olympics. A headless crawling torso straight out of The Walking Dead. This is Malvern Manor, a Victorian hotel in Iowa and former psychiatric care facility. The property has seen more than 187 people die, including 7 suicides. Today, it is the home to shadow people, unidentified entities, and ghosts of its former residents. Malvern Manor is not for the faint of heart and is certain to terrify the living. Hi, creepsters. Happy March. I have some exciting episodes and news to share with you all month. So much is going on. I have a ghost hunt for fans that I will be announcing, and I have a reality TV show that I'm going to be the host of, and I want to tell you all about it. I can't just yet, but I want to tell you guys all about these exciting things. The reality show, it's creepy, and I know my listeners will dig it. I'm so excited. So make sure to subscribe to Amy Keeps It Creepy on Apple Podcasts or wherever you podcast, so you never miss an episode. And check out creepypodcast.com for pictures from episodes and show news. I am also on Instagram at creepypodcast, and you can find my paranormal investigations on my new Instagram at Amy Keeps It Creepy. I have links posted in the show notes, including to my new YouTube channel where I share my paranormal adventures. And please, if you like what you hear today, I would be most grateful if you leave me a review and 5-star rating. It means so much to a new show. Thank you. Okay, let's get to the interview now because this is a good one. I can't stop thinking about Malvern Manor. I'm going to plan a trip there this summer on my haunted road trip. For sure, this place is going to require a second podcast episode. I can't wait for you to hear it and tell me what you think. Please DM me and tell me if we should have a fan ghost hunt there. Because after I did my interview, that's the first thing that came to my mind, is that we should all meet up there and do an investigation. It's so creepy. Malvern Manor has had many designations throughout time. In the late 1800s, it was a hotel called the Cottage Hotel, catering to travelers and businessmen. Then it was converted into a rest home for the sick and infirm. And finally, it became a privately owned care facility, providing a home for those suffering from alcoholism, drug addiction, and severe behavioral disorders. Today, Malvern Manor is a home to many entities. Some say the energy there is angry and sometimes sinister. It has been featured on Paranormal Lockdown and has become a favorite spot for paranormal investigators eager to investigate the abandoned rooms and hallways haunted by the restless spirits of those who once called it home. Josh Hurd is my special guest, who is the caretaker of Malvern Manor. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Amy, how are you?
I'm so good. Oh my God, this place is crazy. This is what your website says. Haunted Manor in Southwest Iowa. This is a true haunting, not an attraction, and not for the faint of heart. Oh my God.
Right.
Is this place for real?
It's definitely for real. And it's funny, like, how often I've had to address that. When people call, you know, sometimes around maybe the Halloween season, like how often I have to field that question, like, is this like a seasonal attraction, or is this, I'm like, no, we're open year round, you know, like this is legit.
Oh my gosh. They're looking for one of those scare places. This is real life. These are real life hauntings.
Right. Yeah. It's like, it's not the jump scares with the fake chainsaws and things like that. This is, this is legit for the paranormal enthusiast, you know, who wants to explore and, you know, try to elicit a response. You know, it's a lot of fun.
Fun. Okay. When did you first know for certain that the property was fun or haunted?
It was actually the first night that I stepped inside of the place.
Oh, of course.
It was by complete happenstance. You know, by day or whatever, I'm a documentary filmmaker, and we were across the street filming my first documentary film. And I didn't realize there was a bar that's attached to this local dining establishment. And so with noise contamination and all that, we really couldn't investigate. You know, I went outside and I met a gentleman. He's like, "Hey dude, what's with all the cameras?" You know, and I told him what we were up to, thinking, oh, this guy's either going to think I'm absolutely crazy, or he may think this is kind of cool, which luckily he thought it was kind of cool.
And he had been drinking too.
It was definitely a Friday night in small town Iowa. Apparently it had been a fairly rough week for a lot of people. You know?
Yeah, so, ready for a haunting.
They were. He's like, "I really don't believe in this stuff, you know, but there are some things that happen there that I can't explain." And, you know, he went into the history of the place. I'm like, "Where is this place at?" He's like, "Oh, it's just right there across the street." I'm like, "I think you and I just became best friends, pal." It was great. So he was nice enough and kind enough to let us in that night. And we had experienced more in the first 2 hours of being inside of this building than we had in the last 2 years. It was that profound.
Whoa, what happened, Josh?
So everything from physical manipulation of objects, disembodied voices, shadow figures, like footsteps coming down the hall. And you look out in the hall thinking, okay, this is, you know, what we would consider to be a closed set. You know, no extra people should be in or out while we're filming. Who's walking down this hallway? And there's nobody there.
You know? Oh, there was someone there.
Okay.
Yeah.
There was definitely somebody there, but nobody that we could physically see, that's for sure. So it was almost like there was so much happening. We didn't even know where to point the cameras. You know, wow. It was interesting for sure.
So kind of your dream come true as a documentarian.
You know, it really kind of was, honestly. It was just one of those things. Like, I fell in love with the place. I was absolutely just floored by this place. And I ended up talking to that gentleman more and more. And I'm like, "I don't think you realize what you have here. Like, we should maybe consider like opening up the doors of this place." And yeah, I mean, that was it. That's how Malvern Manor became Malvern Manor. It's very interesting looking back at the first 10 minutes of my first documentary film, when we're basically stumbling upon this building and not even realizing that in just a year's time, that building would become Malvern Manor. It's insane.
My favorite story is a ghost that may haunt Malvern, who was a psychiatric patient suffering from multiple personality syndrome, having 13 documented personalities. And some of the spirits you come into contact with, Josh, are actually the ghost's alternate personalities. They call her Grace. Tell me about Grace.
She is definitely one of my favorites, like for sure. Gracie, you know, just like you just said, you know, what we called multiple personalities back in the day. Nowadays, I believe they call it DID. Mm-hmm. And schizophrenia on top of all of that. It was a very chaotic mind state for her. They would hear male voices coming from Gracie's room. And obviously having a guy in a girl's room is a big time no-no. And so they would have to go and obviously check that out. But upon entering the room, they would find out it was just her. She was able to manipulate her voice to sound male, which medically speaking is fascinating, just given the night and day difference between male and female vocal cords in general. Very crazy.
Yeah, they didn't believe her. They actually had people stay in the room and watch her because they thought a dude was hiding in her room. It's crazy.
Correct. Correct.
So do you talk to the different personality ghosts?
you know, usually it is interesting, right? Like just thinking, because I entertain so many different, you know, possibilities of in this paranormal realm, right? And I always think to myself, I'm like, you know, with 13 separate distinguishable personalities, is it possible that it is just Gracie haunting the Malvern Manor?
Oh, that's a whole movie in itself.
Isn't it?
Crazy. Yeah, that blows my mind. Crazy.
Gracie is one of those, I don't know. I have a definite soft spot for her. And just kind of what she must have gone through in her life. You know, it could not have been an easy time for sure. And so I go into Gracie's room, and I'm sure if people saw me doing this, they would think I was just absolutely crazy. But I'll go into her room and I'll just hang out and I'll just talk. You know, like, Gracie, you're never going to believe what happened today. Or, Gracie, how was your day? And we'll just chat for an hour. Yeah, I think she really enjoys the company.
And you feel like she's there with you, like hanging out?
Absolutely.
She's a good listener, right, Josh?
Oh, it's certainly cheaper than therapy. Absolutely. I do believe so. It's very interesting to me, like some of the responses, because sometimes I'll bring in a recording device, you know, because why not? I'm there and I'm doing my thing. Might as well see if we get any responses. And sometimes, absolutely, she will respond, intelligently respond to what I'm saying, the subject matter or whatever. It's very impressive.
In one of her personalities though, because she's a man, she's a child, she's different women. I mean, it's crazy.
Correct. And so you don't really know. It's hard for me sometimes to decipher. It's like, okay, who are we talking to? Is this the personality of an older gentleman or a young child? Or, you know, you hear the giggling voices and the slamming on the wall. Ooh. It's like, what mood are you in? You know, like it's fascinating to me anyway, but she's certainly one of my favorites by far.
Okay. There's one place there that scares me though. Room 2. That's where the shadow man is. Tell me about him.
So it is interesting. So the shadow man was a phenomenon that we were not quite aware of when we first, you know, took over the building and all of this. Now, the phenomenon is quite significant, and it does happen often. We have documented this as often as 4 times in a day. But what happens is a very tall, black humanoid figure will come out of room 2. It very slowly come out of room 2. He will then get to about the middle section of the hallway, turn, and then charge at you.
God.
And now when I say like he'll run at you, and it's not like a typical running gait or anything like that. Like it's quite literally traveling the distance of about 40 feet in less than a second.
Oh,
it is moving that fast.
That's terrifying.
It is. And that's what's weird about it to me, is because like at that point your reaction becomes very carnal.
But you're also a victim. You're also a deer in the headlights. You see this thing coming at you. Oh.
Exactly. And now what's interesting then to me is how we as human beings are reacting to this phenomenon. Our natural reaction is obviously to flinch, right? Now, the second it seems that you flinch, the phenomenon's done and over with. Nobody is getting hit or scratched or punched or any of that. So to me, it was almost like, okay, is this potentially then something residual in nature, right? And it was interesting. It was the day after Paranormal Lockdown aired, right? One of these nurses that used to work at the facility that I've since befriended, she got a hold of me and she said, "You're never going to believe this." I'm like, "Well, try me, please." But she said the gentleman that occupied room 2 was 6'7" tall. So quite tall. He was also a nonverbal patient. So he couldn't speak, mentally deranged. He had killed a few people in the past. So here is a monster of a gentleman who cannot verbally relay his information or his feelings, let alone process emotions. And he's probably just acting upon them as he sees fit, right? So in a way, you kind of feel sorry for this guy.
And I'm sure the staff loved him too.
They were terrified.
Oh, they must have been terrified of him.
Terrified. Now, apparently his little claim to fame was whenever they were doing their bed checks or rounds or whatever you want to call it, he would come out of his room and he would chase the nursing staff. Now that interested me.
He's still doing it.
Exactly.
Oh, that's not funny. I don't like him. That's not funny.
We're seeing very similar behaviors here, right? But I don't know. Like, these nurses were absolutely terrified of this gentleman. That is for sure. Terrified of this man.
Wow.
And rightfully so, probably.
Now, does this lady, will she set foot in Malvern again?
We're about to find out.
Ooh.
Right. So every time that I have reached out to her previously, she said, thanks, but no thanks. I just don't want to. And that's understandable. Cool. No problem. However, we are doing this really cool thing at the very first of May called the Paranormal Relief Project. It's a big paranormal event. It's a free ticket for frontline workers as kind of a thank you for kicking so much butt during the pandemic.
Thank you. Come and get terrified.
Yeah, exactly. Please. Yes.
Josh, what's wrong with this scenario? Oh, you're doing your part, right? You're doing your part for your community. Okay. Okay.
That's a way to say thank you.
Sure.
Come and soil yourself, please. her and her husband both got tickets to this event. So come May, we're going to find out if she will go back there for the first time in decades. So I'm very excited for that that potential.
I'm sure you're just like, where do I put the camera?
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, like minds.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, how do you protect yourself in a place like that? Because I've heard some people say that they've had spirits attach themselves to people, and that's scary to me.
You know, I guess it's one of those things that has always been in the back of my mind. Don't get me wrong. I'm always thinking about stuff like that. However, I'm there every day. When I go into the building, I'm always saying good morning. When I leave for the day, I'm always saying good night. I think there is kind of like, okay, here I am. Let's open up the lines of communication. Okay, now I'm leaving, but I'll see you tomorrow. You know what I mean? So I haven't really had an issue with that yet. And hopefully I never do. Knock on wood.
I love Midwestern boys. You guys are so nice. I love it. But also, Josh, come on. You have a haunted doll in your office. So
true.
Things don't scare you like the normal person. Tell me about the haunted doll.
I am terrified of dolls. Okay. I do not enjoy dolls.
I hate them too.
And
they freak me out. And there's a thing now. Everyone wants these haunted dolls. I'm doing a show about it in a few weeks. I mean, people order these dolls on eBay. They're searching out haunted dolls, and you have one.
Yes, this is true. Now, it was interesting to me because this doll was very different. It takes a lot for me to say, okay, yeah, that's a haunted object or whatever, right? However, this doll in particular, I would put her in certain places, right? And then the next day, when I know for a fact I'm the only one with the keys and I'm the last one in or out of this place, I know that nobody moved her. Nobody could have moved her. And yet she's 50 feet away.
What?
Down a hallway.
What?
Absolutely.
Josh, stop.
Absolutely.
You're kidding me, right?
No, I wish I was.
But how do you know it's not one of the spirits? How do you know it's the doll moving?
It's quite possible. It was initially my thought too, right? So this happened two consecutive nights. Okay. The doll would move. And then I put the doll up in what we call Inez's room, another resident spirit of ours.
Oh yeah, we'll get to her.
And I put this doll in Inez's room. And we had a group there this night in particular. And thank goodness they were live on Facebook while they were doing this and answering a general battery of questions that people were asking or whatever. And they said, yeah, it's been a pretty quiet night. A few things have happened here and there. And then you see the doll jump off of this little table that she was sitting on top of.
What? Like a Chucky kind of move?
It was very similar to that. Yes. It was very reminiscent of Child's Play.
Okay.
What's interesting about this doll is she's made of porcelain. So when she hits the ground, she landed feet first and the feet shattered, right? Now, we ended up putting her back together with glue and all this stuff. It took hours to get her back together. But after we got her back together and I let her sit for a couple days, I started to do different fall tests and things like that. What's interesting about this doll is she's so top heavy that her head will quite literally take over gravity and she will always, always, always land head or the back of her neck first, always. So for her to leap off of this thing and land on her feet was very, very curious.
You're a brave man to do surgery on a haunted doll, because if you F up, she's coming after you, dude.
Exactly. It was very interesting to me, like how this could happen. So we put her into a glass case that I had specially made for my grandfather. Since then, the case itself has been blessed by a priest and a shaman. And then we also now have reached out to the Vatican, and they were kind enough. The Vatican itself was kind enough to give us holy water and a really cool rosary as well that now sits on top of her case to better contain whatever it is that is haunting this doll. Now, I will say, like, she still moves within the case. She will move within the case. She will put herself in very unladylike type of positions and things like that.
Oh my God.
Quite literally.
There's like haunted doll porn out there. I know it. That's got to be a fetish.
It's got to be. But no, oh my gosh. But it is interesting to me, like, how she still moves within the case. But obviously, I mean, the case has been so well blessed and protected that there's nothing that she's going to be able to do really to get out of there. Unless somebody takes her out of there, but it's a very interesting phenomenon. That's for sure.
Wow. I don't even know what to say. That's so crazy. I have to see the footage. I have to see the footage of the doll leaping off the table.
Yeah, I will send it to you. Absolutely. Yes, for sure.
Okay, cool. I'll post it on creepypodcast.com and we will all look at it together, guys, and freak out together.
Very nice.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, so let's talk about Inez.
Certainly one of the more active spirits in Malvern Manor. The story with Inez is tragic. We know the year was 1900. It was December 21st of 1900. 12-year-old Inez Gibson outside playing with her 8-year-old brother, Otto. She's either cold or bored, but she says, I'm going upstairs. Well, we know 10 minutes pass and Otto comes upstairs and he finds his sister hanging by her jump rope in the closet. This looks like a suicide. It kind of smells like a suicide. These children had a very rough go of life up until this point. We know Otto tries to get her down and he can't. Being 8 years old, he's just not strong enough to do so. Otto runs to the grocery store, and that's where aunt and uncle were working that day. Aunt and uncle had also just become adopted mom and dad to these kids. So a very new living situation, a very tough go of life, like I stated earlier. But he grabs aunt and uncle. He also grabs two doctors as well, which just seems like dumb luck, in my opinion, for small town Iowa in 1900. But they all race back. They get her down. They tried to help in some way. And way too much time had passed, right? So there was just no helping her. But I think this story shook the entire community. Like, even one of the doctors that was attempting to help her that day committed suicide 10 days later.
Oh my God.
The story gets so messy.
But there was a lot. Inez was adopted. Her mother was trying to get her back. She said, I don't want to go back to my family. I'd rather die. And then this happened.
Literally.
So a lot of mystery.
Yes.
But it's hard to hang yourself. It's hard to hang yourself by a jump rope in a closet for a young girl.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was interesting to me, like reading over her death certificate. It does say, you know, accidental death.
But they would have said that, though, Josh, you know, not to shame the family and not to shame her.
No, exactly.
She could have a Christian burial. It wouldn't be, you know, so horrible. Yeah. It's already a horrible situation.
Yeah. And I didn't realize that, but you're absolutely correct. Like, that situation happened more often than not. So people could have that Christian burial. You're absolutely correct. It's a very odd thing. Now, what's interesting to me anyway, maybe I'm too analytical, but it's interesting because she is one of the most active spirits. You will hear her running up and down the halls. She'll call you by name. She'll ask you to come and play, things like that.
Wow.
Oh yeah. It's like, sometimes you're just not in the mood. You know, other times you entertain that. But we also know that definitively, Inez Gibson never died on property. Like, the story that I just told you absolutely happened, but it never happened on our property. It happened across the street. Now, for years, we actually thought that it did happen on property. We were wrong, and now we're trying to set the story straight. Obviously, I certainly don't want to put out false information.
Because I was going to ask you if you knew the closet.
That's the problem.
Wow.
Right. So now, where their house sat at that time, now sits a doctor's office in Malvern. So whatever historical anything was there is now certainly gone and lost to time. Very interesting. Like, why in her afterlife would she choose to be here, you know, to be at the manor? Why would that happen? If it is even in fact her, or if we're just being tricked, if this is just an elaborate hoax that some weird trickster spirit is trying to play on us. We have no idea.
Josh, I think about this all the time. How can children be stuck on Earth? I mean, is it demons trying to pretend that they're children, you know, to mess with paranormal investigators and trick us and, you know, make them, make us engage with them and give them power? It's hard. It's so hard for me to believe. I'm a mother of three, that children can be stuck here or would want to be stuck in Malvern Manor. No offense to Malvern Manor, but come on. It's like,
exactly.
it's not the pearly gates. It's not the dream I have of heaven. But
exactly.
If she is a little girl and she wants to be in her neighborhood, you know, there are some spirits there that she can hang out with. And her house is gone.
True.
So I don't know, Josh.
True.
I don't know.
It is interesting. And I will say, like, back in 1900, the time of her death or whatever, like, that building that we now call Malvern Manor, that was the cottage hotel. It was the place to be in the area. You know, it was kind of the pinnacle of the area.
It was the first hotel in the area, for sure.
Yes, absolutely. And so maybe she was just attracted to the location in that respect. I mean, it's possible, sure. But again, like, there's something very unsettling. I myself am a father of three. And there's something very unsettling about that.
Very, very. Now, I've heard that there is what some perceive as a dark entity that looks like a child, and they get creeped out. Tell me about this entity.
So we don't know exactly what is going on with that. There are numerous now sightings, photographs, even a couple videos of something that is more or less like what I would consider to be almost like a shadow figure, but it's not quite right. It's not quite like a shadow figure because there's depth to it. You know what I mean? There's more substance to it. There's something else going on, but it's also considerably short. Like, we're talking 3, maybe 4 feet in height. This is very small. And it's moving very fast.
Oh.
And it's usually as close to the floor as it can be. Like, it's almost like cowering. It's disturbing. like to say the very least.
Oh my gosh, wait a minute. This isn't the same thing that is seen like crawling like a torso with no head, right? Is that different? I mean, there's just so many stories. It's hard to get them all right.
This would be different. I didn't realize. No.
Oh, yeah.
This would be different then.
Yeah, no, I heard about these two girls that were in the attic. I want to talk about the attic. But they were terrified.
I forgot about this. So, yes.
And they saw that thing, that hand, like an arm coming out of the top of the roof. And then they were like terrified, ready to leave. And then they just saw this like torso thing, like kind of like, oh, like a horror show, like a horror movie, kind of crawling towards them. My God, what is going on in the attic?
And that is exactly how they described it to me. They said it looked like something from The Walking Dead, that show. But they said they had seen something, yes, off to the side. They were sitting kind of in the back area, like towards the back of the attic. Near, there are two crawl spaces back there that they were also sitting pretty much directly beside when this happened. And they had initially seen this figure or whatever, and that was about roughly 15 feet away from them. But then they said they couldn't see it any longer. Then they heard some kind of a disturbance off to like their right. And when looking over to the right there at the crawl space, here comes this torso crawling out at them. Now, I've reached out to them numerous times. They're never coming back. They've already made their peace with it. They're not coming back.
I love it. These paranormal investigators, they want to have these experiences, but we all have limits. I think that would be my limit.
You know, and that's just it. I think you're absolutely right. And I always try to like tell people this. I'm like, we all have our own, you know, comfort zone, right? And I think the really, really good stuff is just a foot or two past that comfort zone. I'm like, so if you can muster up enough courage to maybe take another step or two forward, or if you can muster up a couple extra questions to ask or something, that might be the good stuff right there. And trying to push ourselves just a little further. Now, don't get me wrong. I've run out of that place numerous times. I really have.
Really? What made you run? Because you seem brave.
Oh, I appreciate that. The first time that I ran out of that place was due to the Shadow Man. Now, I was not investigating at all. In fact, I was walking back there with a vacuum cleaner just to do my daily stuff, you know, and I was walking back there, minding my own business. I turned the corner and bam, right there he was. And I dropped the vacuum cleaner, and that's when he ran and I booked it. Ugh. I booked it.
And a good reason to never do housework again.
I don't even vacuum back there any longer. I swear to God, I don't. Don't do it. No, thanks. No,
I need to see a shadow person in my house, and then I'll never dust or vacuum again.
It's a perfect excuse, though.
But honey, there's a shadow person there. I can't do that.
Can't even ask me to do that. That's so funny.
All right, there's some funny stuff too going on there. Like, what's going on in the stinky room 7? This room that smells like BO all the time.
Yes. So it is weird, right? So
weird,
yeah, room
right?
7 has always been so weird. And it's very sporadic. It'll come and it'll go. But you're absolutely right. Like one of the major claims is it smells like BO in there. Like somebody hasn't put on deodorant in a few days.
Right. But also the stinky dude ghost in there also tries to grab women all the time. So
can definitely do that.
He's a little stinky perv. Mm-hmm.
A little perv ghost. Now, I will say, like, upstairs, there's another entity up there who refers to himself as Hank or Henry. And it kind of depends on the day and his mood. But he's like your stereotypical grumpy old man. Like, he would sit out on the front porch and he would throw rocks at children.
Oh, he's cantankerous. Oh, yeah.
Right. So he's just kind of he's that guy. Now, he also does not enjoy the company of ladies, and he will call them pretty much any vulgar name you could possibly imagine. And his vocabulary is epic.
Creative.
To say the very least. Very. Like, it's things that even make me blush. And trust me, that is saying something.
Wow.
It is insane. Now, even up in Hank's room, he has numerous dressers in his room. There are still clothing items of his.
What?
In these dressers. Absolutely. Again, like, one of the biggest things with Malvern Manor is, like, me going into this building initially and starting it as a haunted location, I wanted to keep everything exactly the way we found it.
You're so smart.
To me, I think it just adds a little bit more integrity to the place from the investigative side of everything, right?
You have Hank's wardrobe.
Exactly. Exactly. We also have Hank's fingernail clippings in his top drawer as well.
Do.
It's disgusting.
Oh.
It's disgusting. Right. So maybe we got a little Hank DNA in there as well.
Oh,
I don't
gross.
Know. It's disgusting. It's
don't
so disgusting.
Sit on the bed.
No, God, no.
Oh, it wasn't that DNA? Okay. Oh, my mind. Okay. So what happens when you mess with his clothes?
So that's just it. Female investigators specifically, messing with the clothes, folding the clothes even nice and neat, almost like a mother would do, right? That seems to elicit the response. Now, I will also say ladies, especially putting on the clothing, will tend to elicit that response as well.
What? Who's putting on Hank's clothing?
You would be shocked. You would be shocked.
Oh my God. The paranormal community. There's some interesting folks.
Anything for that evidence.
Wow. It takes all kinds, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No, I know a lot of women, they wear lingerie and they try, you know, to sex themselves up to get, to elicit responses, especially like in a prison and stuff. Oh my goodness. Oh my.
And I openly welcome any type of investigative approach like that.
Especially women in lingerie, right?
No. Maybe I should clarify. But it is interesting, like the things that we will do to get a piece of evidence for that, like, you know, like dressing up or saying a certain thing, acting a certain way, you know, trying new things. I love it. And so I'm like, if you can come up with something like that and being creative like that, more power to you.
It doesn't sound like you have to do a whole lot there, though, to get a response, because this place is active.
It is. Like, I have literally walked in the door. I have walked in the door, which when I enter, I always go into the back door, which is just off the kitchen area. I walk in that door, and that's when I start my day. I am very meticulous when it comes to what I'm doing throughout the day. So I always go to the doors, and I always check those doors and make sure they're unlocked, open up, ready to go. All sorts of things like that. But I have no more than stepped inside the door and gotten just out of the kitchen when I hear my name in a very sing-songy voice go, Josh. And I'm like, okay, so the first smoke break of the day starts now.
Wow. That reminds me, there's a ghost there who wants cigarettes, right? And alcohol?
Yes. All the time.
Wow.
So up in the attic, for whatever reason, there is something up there that I don't know. It says, it'll tell you some of the most horrific things you can imagine when you're up in the attic. Things like, I'm going to kill you. Things like, I am Satan himself.
Oh, wow. That's evil.
Things that most people would be scared of, right? You hear something saying, I'm Satan. Most people aren't going to hang out for too much longer. Now, me, I'm just tenacious enough to push a little farther, right? And it's interesting to me because it's almost like he'll tell you things like, oh, I'm going to kill you. But then he'll beg you for alcohol and cigarettes.
I'm going to kill you. Give me a drink.
Exactly.
Where's the smoke? You son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I'm the devil. Tequila.
Get lost right now. But before you go, can I bum a smoke? It was so funny too, because like right before paranormal lockdown came, I was talking to my good pal, Johnny Hauser from the Villisca Axe Murder House. Right. And I was nervous because, you know, we had never had a television show come to film. And Johnny says, well, you need to go in and you need to give the house a pep talk. I go, what the heck does that mean? And he goes, you just need to walk through, tell them who's going to be here, what to do to them, and all that. So I went up to the attic first. And he said, all right, here's the deal. I go, there's these two people, Nick and Katrina. They're going to be here for 3 solid days. They're going to be locked inside this building. They can't leave. I'm like, I really need you to like just light them up however you can. I go, and if you do a good job, like I will bring you an entire bottle of Jack Daniel's whiskey.
Good one.
We weren't even done with the walkthrough tour. And there was all sorts of noises going on up there. And I made good on my promise. I will say that. I absolutely did that.
Wow. You're a good director. You know how to get them. You know how to get them going.
Yes. Exactly.
Because there's a lot of stars in Hollywood I've worked with that will work for Jack Daniels.
Oh, nice. I'll keep that in mind as well, just in case I need somebody. That is great.
So have you noticed any spirits of nurses or doctors there?
There have been a few teams that have come in that say that they are getting the spirits of former nursing staff there. They have even said that they have physically seen these entities moving around, specifically in that nursing home wing. Now, me personally, I haven't seen this yet, but that doesn't mean much. You know, I'm also not there during like peak hours. I'm there, you know, in the morning until very early evening, and usually I'm back home, you know. So I'm not there actively investigating. I'm sweeping the floors and making sure the toilet paper is stocked. You know what I mean?
Right.
Things like that. But they have said that they have come in contact with former nurses. It's also interesting when, you know, former nurses who are still living will come and visit us just to walk through. And I always ask if I could tag along with them, because I'm a history freak. I love it. And when you have somebody who lived the history, I'm going to buddy up with you.
Well, totally. And they can fill in blanks, you know, of the EVPs you're getting and, you know, names. They can tell you like, yeah, that was that psycho girl down in the room, blah, 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 who was like always a pain in the butt. Yeah, she's here.
Yes.
That kind of thing.
Exactly.
Fascinating.
Exactly. I love that stuff. There was a really interesting story that one nurse who was just here over the summer stopped by, and she told me this really cool story of this lady named Goldie, who lived actually right across the hall from Hank. And what she said was Goldie was left at the altar of all places, of all things, you know what I mean? So she, because of this, she suffered a mental breakdown and was taken there. Now, during her time there, apparently something else neurological had happened to her, because it seemed like she had suffered a stroke of some sort, because they said her hand was pressed up to her chest and it wouldn't move. It was very rigid. It couldn't move. And to me, that sounds like somebody that has suffered a stroke.
Yeah, for sure.
But it got to be then, towards the latter part of her life, she could only say 2 things, and it was, my name is Goldie, and you're not my mama. That's the only things that she could say. But then I didn't even realize she had passed away there in that room. So now I always make it a point to say hello to her, like good morning, good night, and all of that to her as well. Because, man, it's heartbreaking. You know, it's a heartbreaking story.
So tell me, have you ever gotten any EVPs with Goldie saying those phrases?
The only things that I have got, I've yet to get her name. And this is what's irritating to me, because I can't definitively say, oh, that's her. But I have got, you're not my mama, numerous times.
Oh. So
that fits the story.
It does fit the story, yeah.
But I just can't definitively say, oh, yeah, that's her, because I want that name. Like, I really want to get her name.
Well, maybe they misquoted her.
Maybe they did.
Maybe you're looking for something that she couldn't say.
Yeah, exactly.
That would suck for her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think that spirits, they want to be recognized, especially people who didn't have a voice, like people stuck in a mental home. Come on, they had no voice. And so I think part of the reason that they try to communicate with people is that they want to be, they want to be acknowledged. They want to be remembered.
Right.
Even the cantankerous guy.
Exactly.
He wouldn't engage with you if he didn't want to communicate.
Very true.
He would hide in the shadows, right?
Yep. Exactly. This is all very true. And oh, yeah, Hank, for as cantankerous as he is, he's certainly one of my favorites.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I have to hear some of those nasty EVPs. That sounds funny.
You know, okay, seriously. One time I was embarrassed, okay? I was embarrassed. I had taken two ladies up to that room. Now, these ladies were in their mid to late 60s, okay? But they loved doing this stuff. Now, they were going up there. They were doing an EVP session. They're like, let's just do a 10-minute EVP session. And the things that he said to them was so bad.
Oh.
Like, they, now, in their defense, they were both giggling. You know what I mean? But I was like mortified. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? You kiss your mother with that mouth? Ow, wow.
Wow.
Crazy.
What'd he say? I want to hear it.
I cannot.
Oh, you know,
I cannot repeat it.
Okay.
You know, one of the first things that he said was, I'm going to mess with these two B words.
Okay.
You know, that was the first thing out of his mouth. Everything else is NC-17 from that point on.
Wow.
Like, it was so bad.
Wow. Doesn't like the women, that guy. All right. So you were mentioning the Velasca axe murderer. Like, you have a connection with that.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard that a certain infamous character may have stayed at the hotel when it was a hotel. People say that the Velasca axe murderer was there. How do you know this? Tell me more.
It is interesting, right? So, again, one of my best friends in the whole world is Johnny Hauser from the Velasca Axe House. And him and I have had numerous late night conversations where you just kind of let your conspiratorial mind run free.
I love those nights.
I do too. I really do too. And it was one of those weird conversations where Johnny said, you know, this was the place to be back then. And, you know, the railroad itself would have run right there to Velasca. I'm like, yeah, you're absolutely right. He goes, isn't it feasible that the killer or killers would have stayed a night or two, maybe before or after the Velasca axe murder killings, you know? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I guess that's quite possible. He goes, what if the Velasca axe murders were plotted right here in this building? Now that sent shivers down my spine, because I mean, you talk about just like bad juju anyway, you know, like, whoa, bro, like, okay, let's pump the brakes a little bit here. But it is interesting because Johnny and people in Velasca will get EVPs and things of that nature that would suggest Malvern. And
really?
We at the, and even us over here in Malvern are getting tons of EVPs suggesting Velasca, specifically calling out certain characters like Reverend Kelly, like one of the top people they thought had done the killing in Velasca. Oh my goodness.
Wow.
I'm like, so it's very interesting. It's an interesting thought to kind of entertain momentarily, you know? It's like, and at first we just kind of chalked it up to, well, Johnny's over here all the time and I'm over there all the time. And maybe we just have paranormal baggage or something that we're carrying along with us. I don't know.
But that's specific though, Josh. Come on. Mm-hmm. Very specific.
Very.
And plausible.
Very.
All plausible. I think more will be revealed about this. You have to keep me posted on that. I think there's a book here somewhere, honestly.
I would totally agree with that.
Yeah.
I would totally agree.
It's a mystery that I know all podcasters are fascinated by, so.
Yes. I will say, like, I would give my left leg if I were able to see a ledger from June of 1912 at the Cottage Hotel.
Well, be careful, because there's a torso running around there. Now there's going to be a leg. Hold on to your body parts.
Mm-hmm. Right? He's like, I'd take that leg.
Oh.
Now tell us about the spirit who hops around.
Oh my God.
So bad.
All right, tell me about Captain Colors.
So Captain Colors was one of the first people in the area to come and like settle, right? He was also one of the first people to formally own what we now call Malvern Manor. But like I said, he was the first to settle and like build a family and a life and all of that. So he's very strong ties to not only the area, but also the building. Mm. Now upstairs, there's one specific room upstairs, room 24. And that's just kind of where he likes to hang out. Now, usually people are just greeted with, you know, like, what's your business type of an EVP, right? Now, other times he's just flat out telling people to get lost in not such a nice way. Now, I will also say people have been scratched, punched, bit, kicked. It's not a very welcoming type of experience from the captain, for sure. Now, I will also say, though, that this is generally following a fair amount of provocation, you know, so I'm not saying these people are asking for it, but...
But kind of they're asking for it, yeah.
Yeah, like me personally, I've never had a problem with the captain. And maybe it's a mutual respect between guys, you know, and a love for this building, this location.
Totally.
I don't know. But I certainly also am not poking and prodding, and I certainly want to stay on his good side as well.
Yeah, who wants to be like sucker punched by a ghost? That's embarrassing.
Not me. Exactly.
Dude, what happened to you, Josh?
I don't want to talk about it. Like, what happened to you? I fell down some stairs. Like, what do you say? Amazing.
Oh my gosh, this place is incredible. Wow. So what is your, I mean, there's just so many stories. What's your favorite Malvern Manor story?
You know, I will say one of my favorites is, obviously now we've been doing a lot of homework. That's just kind of all we do. Like, again, I don't want to present false information. But one of my favorites is pertaining to the gentleman that we now refer to as the Shadow Man, right? Again, a very tall man, nonverbal, mentally deranged, killed a few people in the past.
Likes to scare people in hallways, good sprinter.
Exactly, right. One evening, he escaped. And I say escaped, like it's something fancy or something like that. But actually what he did was he just walked out the front door. He just walked out. Now, what's interesting is they were trying to get him back, but he wasn't compliant. He wasn't listening to them at all. And so protocol says that you need to then call the police. Well, they called the police. Now, the police came and they, quote unquote, arrested this gentleman, right? They didn't really arrest him. What they did was they took him to a locked facility in Omaha, Nebraska, which is quite close to us. I mean, we're only roughly 35 minutes away from Omaha, but they took him there to this facility. But 48 hours later, this gentleman passed away. Now, this gentleman was only in his mid to upper 40s at most, certainly too young to be checking out, and otherwise in fairly decent health as well. So how he was expired in 48 hours, we have no idea. We have no idea.
So interesting. And maybe a reason why he's so pissed off in the afterlife.
Exactly.
I mean, if it's not a residual haunting, if he actually is there.
Exactly.
Wow, something happened. There's more to that story. Ooh.
I think there's a lot more to that story. And it's almost painful to the point where to think, like, are we ever going to know what really happened?
You're going to get pieces for sure. And then there's a whole unwritten history about when it was a hotel. I mean, I couldn't find any information about when it was a hotel and what was going on there.
We have a group of investigators that like to come, and sometimes when they come, they spend 4 or 5 days there.
Wow. Like sleeping there? You can sleep there?
You can absolutely sleep there. We even have a shower now.
Wow.
Okay. So like, wow, absolutely. We're moving on up. I'm telling you. These people, their day job is they work for the FBI.
Nice. Like the perfect paranormal investigators. Come on.
That's exactly what I thought too. I'm like, oh my gosh, like your analytical minds alone are just.
Yeah, they can profile. Totally.
Exactly. This is just perfect for me, right? But they also, in doing research, have a farther reach. They know exactly how to and where to get information and blah, blah, blah. Now, some of it, they just won't, you know, come up with anything. You know, sometimes they just kind of hit a brick wall and there's nothing there they can find. And that's fine. But the things that they have been able to find so far is fascinating to me. They were able to tell me that so far on property, there have been 187 deaths that we know of now.
Whoa.
187 deaths.
Wow.
That's impressive to me.
Wow.
Now, there are also numerous other deaths where these patients were then transferred out to a hospital because they couldn't get that care that they needed. So they were transferred to a hospital where a day or two or five later, they would expire. So they didn't die on property. However, they lived on property until they were taken to the hospital where they did pass away. There was plenty of those too. Also, during the time of the hotel, another cool bit of information that they found, 7 suicides on property while it was functioning as a hotel.
As a hotel?
Exactly.
Oh.
There's something very romantic about travel anyway, right? But and why people would choose to take their life at a hotel in a very public type of a setting, I don't know. It's beyond me.
Well, then your family doesn't have to find you. Your family doesn't have to find you.
Exactly.
Your family doesn't have to clean it up, you know?
That's exactly where my brain goes to. That's the only thing I can come up with as well.
During the Depression, come on, there was just so many suicides and wow. Oh, there is so much going at Malvern Manor. I don't know, Josh. I don't know if I could ever go there. I'm too much of a scaredy cat. This place is for real. Wow.
It's crazy, but I'm telling you, we would love to have you out. Anytime that you want to, you come on out. You let me know.
But I won't go anywhere without a camera there. Oh my gosh. Tell me where to put the camera.
Absolutely.
Oh, so scary.
I will absolutely do that.
Oh,
for sure.
Awesome.
Hi, Creepsters. If you liked what you heard today, please subscribe to Amy Keeps It Creepy on Apple Podcasts or wherever you podcast so you never miss an episode. I promise to creep you out. Thank you for listening.
Toxic content.